Good morning. I'm Renee Nelson. Thanks for joining us today. And we know we're getting to closer to spring because Peggy Riley from the IRS is here. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
And we know we're getting closer to spring because we're getting closer to tax day.
That's right.
So first of all, thanks for coming in today and talking about taxes, tax talk. It's the 15th again this year, as it is every year. Does Maine and New England get lucky enough to fall into one of the extra days this year?
No extra days this year. And I've been getting this question a lot is, you know, you started the filing season late, so do we get extra time at the end? But no, you don't. The filing deadline is April 15th by midnight. So you need to get that return done, get it in by April 15th.
Okay. Now, who needs to file? I mean, I have a job, so I assume I need to file, but there's a lot of ways people are earning their incomes and money comes into their lives. Who needs to file? Who doesn't need to file?
Well, basically, most people need to file if you're working and you have some income. Some students may not have much taxes taken out. In many cases, they won't have any taxes taken out. They're exempt from taxes because it's just a part-time job or maybe a summer job, but we do encourage them, even if they don't make a lot of money, if they have any taxes withheld, they want to file that return because you're going to get it back as a refund. Ooh. So even if you don't have a high income, you should take a look and see if filing a return will give you a refund. Plus, you might qualify for some credits and deductions you might not even be aware of. And some of those actually add to the refund.
Ooh, that's really cool. Now, let's say you filed or you have to file. There's a lot of ways we can do this now. It's not just, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when it was. You filled out the paperwork, you mailed it in, period, end of story.
Exactly. But you know, like almost 90% of people nationwide now are using some type of an electronic filing program to do their return. So not only does it do the math for you, but it brings up questions about credits and deductions that you might not even be aware of. So it definitely is the most accurate way to file your return, and you should get the best refund possible. Now, you can choose to go to a paid tax preparer that will prepare your return for you and file it electronically, or you could log on to irs.gov, our website, and click on the free file logo, and that's going to bring up a list of about 14 companies that offer free tax preparation for taxpayers whose income is $58,000 or less. And that's a lot of people across the country will qualify for that.
Yeah, a lot of people in Maine will, that's for sure.
Definitely. And even if your income is higher than that, we have what we call free file fillable forms. Say that four times fast. You need to know a little bit more about your return if you use that program because it doesn't lead you through and ask you about credits and deductions. So if you kind of have a good idea of what you already qualify for, you could use free file fillable forms and file for free as well.
That's really cool.
And there's also volunteer sites that are located right out in your community. If you go onto our website and do a search for volunteers, it's going to bring up a section where you put in your zip code, and it's going to give you a list of all of the volunteer sites that are within a five-mile radius of your home.
Ooh,
now,
nice.
You bring all of your information to these volunteer sites, and they'll help you figure out what credits and deductions you qualify for, and then they'll even file for free for you.
Oh, that's really awesome because you're working with somebody. You're
right.
Not
so
kind of feeling
don't feel
so alone.
So confident about doing it by themselves.
Yeah.
But if you go to a volunteer site, these volunteers are trained by the IRS. And they're trained specifically in credits for the lower income or the elderly. So they'll help you figure out what you qualify for and file that return for you.
Woohoo. Now, let's say you need to file, but for some reason you just can't get it all done by the 15th. What do we do?
There's a lot of people that either won't have all their paperwork or something has happened to them, whether there's an illness or a death in the family, and they just can't get it done by April 15th. The most important thing to do is, if your return is ready, get it in by the 15th. If you can't get it in by the 15th, then file an extension.
Mm-hmm.
You do that by filing a Form 4868. But you have to keep in mind that it's an extension of time to file, but not time to pay. So you have to make an estimate of what you may owe, if you think you're going to owe, and send in a payment with that extension so that you don't have penalties and interest that continue to grow until you file your return and pay what's due.
Okay. Now, let's say I've done all my paperwork and I do need to pay in. There's pretty much a few options on that as well, right?
True. You know, a lot of people are under the impression that, oh my goodness, if I don't send in my return, they won't know that I owe money and I just, you know, I don't have to worry about it right now. But that's not true. You know, eventually it will catch up with you. So you, if you have the return done, even if you owe money, send in the return, send in a payment of whatever you can with the return. And you can ask for an installment agreement with the IRS. You could do that a number of different ways. You can do it by filing a Form 9465 with your return. And you basically tell us how much you can pay per month. And as long as it's, you know, a legitimate amount that, you know, and it will be paid off within a legitimate amount of time, they're usually approved. Or you can go on to IRS.gov and use the installment agreement application and apply right there online.
Wow.
And you'll get an instantaneous response that way.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Now, if you do owe, I'm assuming writing a check works.
Definitely, you can write a check. You can direct debit your bank account. You can make a credit card payment. There's a number of different ways you can pay your taxes.
Okay. Now, if you're lucky enough to be getting a refund, I was this year. I was quite excited by that. There's no delay, really. This gets processed really quickly.
Yes. As long as there's no issues with the return, if we don't have to stop it and question anything, then refunds have been going out within 21 days. So it's a couple of weeks if you get direct deposit, 3 weeks if you ask for a paper check, and that's if you e-file your return.
Yeah.
But if you file on paper, obviously it's going to take a lot longer, and it'll take about 6 to 8 weeks to get your money back to you. We haven't seen many delays. What people may have thought at the beginning of the season was, you know, we started a couple of weeks late, but we did open the free file system on January 17th. So you could start your return, but you couldn't transmit it to the IRS until the 31st. So those first returns that came in, they may have thought it was a delay if their preparer didn't tell them that they hadn't sent it yet. But we haven't experienced many delays whatsoever. You know, most refunds are going out. We've already sent out millions of dollars across the country.
Yeah, mine already has been received and spent. So thank you for that. Now, as the IRS is changing and you have, you know, the paper forms, you have all this electronic things that happen, this has got to really open up some questions about safety and a focus by the IRS to make sure that this really personal and important information is safe.
Right. You know, with the onset of electronic filing, we had to, you know, obviously refine our systems and make sure that everything is safe and secure. And that's basically the reason why you can't file directly to the IRS. You have to go through a third-party provider in order to send your return in. And that third-party provider not only has to go through a background check, but they also have to have a security check with their computer systems to make sure that everything that they're sending in is encrypted. So you should feel very comfortable that all of the information we're receiving is encrypted, and we haven't had any issues as far as that goes. Now, there are other scams that are out there that you need to be aware of. You know, one of them is identity theft. We've seen over the last few years that people are taking people's social security number, even their names, filing fake returns. You know, they make up a fake W-2 or a 1099, and they try to get it in early in the season before the real taxpayer comes in. And then when the real taxpayer comes in, their refund is stopped because we're saying, wait a minute, we already have a return filed under this number. And many times that's the first time the taxpayers realize that their identity has been stolen. So we do have an identity fraud unit, and we've really beefed up the number of employees that are working these cases because it does, as you can imagine, it takes some time to solve these cases. So, you know, the real taxpayer now has to come in and prove their identity so they can get their refund. So it can take sometimes weeks and months for that the real taxpayer to get their money back.
Oh, that's no fun.
So we do have a lot of employees dedicated to that. We have an identity theft unit, and you need to get in touch with the IRS if you think this has happened to you.
Okay.
We have a great taxpayer's guide to identity theft right on our website at IRS.gov, and it gives you all the steps that you should take if you believe you're a victim of ID theft.
Now, I would guess that one of the big ways to avoid that sort of thing is making sure that the tax preparer that you pick or the software that you use is exactly what they're representing themselves to be. How do we know that? Is there like a IRS stamp of approval?
Well, you know, you should ask your tax preparer if they have a preparer ID number. So every tax preparer should have an ID number from the IRS, and they should be willing to sign your return and put that number on there. Also, never sign a blank return. If you go to a preparer and they say, okay, just leave me all your information, I'll fill it out, just sign here, and it'll all be taken care of. Never do that. You want to make sure you know what's being put on that return and that everything that is claimed on the return is really, you're really legitimately can claim. Because ultimately, once you sign that return, you're responsible no matter who prepares that return.
Yeah.
So when picking a preparer, you may want to ask if they are a CPA or an enrolled agent or what kind of, continuing education do they do to keep up with the new tax laws. You may want to check with the local Better Business Bureau to make sure there was no complaints filed against that person. Yeah. And we always tell people, ask your friends and your family who they go to, because many people go to the same tax preparer for years, and they'll be willing to give you some recommendations, because you want to make sure they're legitimate, they're going to do best by you, and another thing that you want to check on is that they're going to be around after the tax season in case you get a notice, because that's the worst thing, is to be stuck with a notice like in June, and the tax preparer has closed up their doors in April, and you have nowhere to turn.
Oh, yes, that would be. Now, what about all these like online portals you can go in, file your information. Is there something we should look for on those either online or the software that we can purchase in stores?
You should look for the IRS e-file logo, because that means that they have gone through their security check and that their software has been approved by the IRS. And in fact, most of any programs that are out there should be approved. They shouldn't just be selling software that isn't legitimate. But you want to look for that IRS e-file logo to make sure that they are an approved, authorized e-file provider.
Fantastic. Now, there's any big changes this year that we should be aware about going into, if you haven't filed already?
There's not a lot of changes for this year. There are a number of things that have expired for 2014, which we'll get into in a minute. But one of the big changes is that same-sex married couples can now file a joint federal return. Up until the Supreme Court decision last year, they had to file two separate returns federally, and then in states where it was recognized, they could file a joint return. So it was a lot of work for same-sex married couples. But now they can file a joint return, and they can go back for the last 3 years and amend those returns as well.
Oh, wow.
If it would be beneficial and they get more of a refund. Also, we've introduced a simplified home office deduction for people that have home offices. Now, remember, you have to have that room just as a separate room in the house. You can't be using it for anything else. You can't have the TV in there with the kids watching it while you're on the computer on the other desk.
Okay.
So it has to be a room in your home just used for your home office. And the simplified option allows you to take $5 per square foot up to a standard $1,500 deduction. So you don't have to go in and figure out, like, what percentage of the mortgage covers this room and what percentage of the heating bill. It's a pretty complicated, deduction to take. So this will help some people that just have, that simplified deduction.
Fantastic. Now, you said some things expired
A couple of things that come to mind are the teacher's expense deduction. The $250 deduction for teachers that pay for their own classroom supplies. You could still take that on the return you're filing now, but for 2014, that has expired. Congress could go back and extend it, so you want to keep your ears open for any changes that may be made that may be retroactive. And also, some of the energy credits for making energy-efficient improvements to your home have expired as well. So we'll see if they extend them too.
Yeah, the energy credits seem to come and go and come and go,
right.
And they're hard to keep up with, but it's easy to find a lot of this information, isn't it?
Definitely. The best place to get information is irs.gov. It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have some, with our phone lines, it's really busy right now. We don't have as many employees due to the budget issues that we're facing. You can still call us at 1-800-829-1040, but many people are finding it's a lot simpler to just go on the website and find what you need. We have a really great search feature on our website, so it brings up a lot of quick information, so you should be able to find what you need right there.
Fantastic. Yeah, irs.gov is an awesome website, and it will answer just about any question, and it's easy to use.
Yes, it's very interactive. It's pretty simple and straightforward, so people shouldn't be afraid to try to take a look at it. And many people are finding that they don't need to call us anymore. They don't need to come in. They could just log on.
Fantastic. Peggy, thank you.
Thank you.
Tax season, it's upon us. The information is waiting for you at irs.gov, and you can find out all sorts of information and find out more about any of the things that we talked about, and especially checking on how quickly your refund is going to show up. There's a way you can obsessively check on that as well,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have a Where's My Refund function right on irs.gov. You put in a few things from your return, your Social Security number, your filing status and your refund amount, and it will tell you whether or not we've received that return, whether it's been processed, and when to expect that money.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.